You're encouraged to follow this morning's reading in church Bibles in the chairs in front of you. You can find it. The reading starts on page 1001. So I'm going to be reading from Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with the lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, and saying, "Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, "Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, here, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you know that I reap where I've not sowed and gather where I've scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you for reading. And this morning we are summing up, as it were, the last few weeks that we've been looking at the return of the King. This morning is called The Coming of the King. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Father God, we thank you that we have your word in our hand this morning. We pray that you would open our ears to hear and our hearts to respond, that we would truly take your word into our lives and act upon it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The coming of the King. Well, I remember attending the state opening of Parliament with Katia, my daughter. We had a seat very close to where the Queen would pass. We had to be in our seats hours beforehand, anticipating the moment when the Queen would finally arrive. Now, we knew it was going to happen, but boy, did we have to wait a long time. We even had a rough time frame, but she just didn't turn up. But it seemed like forever. One day, the King is coming. Not an earthly king, but the King of all the earth. We know it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to occur. But this uncertainty of not knowing means we need to be ready at all times. Now, much of this chapter is about living in the expectation of the return of Jesus Christ, with the warning of what will happen if we're not ready. Here's the first point this morning. Make sure you really do belong to Jesus. Cast your eyes down verses 1 through 13, because this parable takes us to a Jewish wedding. We don't know many details about the wedding because, quite frankly, they're irrelevant. But we do know that there are 10 virgins. Let's kind of do a bit of cross-culture and call them bridesmaids this morning. They know there's going to be a wedding, but the bridegroom is delayed. They're going to need their lamps. They all have lamps, but only 5 of the 10 take any oil with them to light their lamps. And then at midnight, when everyone is asleep, the cry goes out, the bridegroom's here. 5 of them light their lamps and they followed the bridegroom into the wedding feast. Five of them suddenly realized that they haven't got any oil in their lamps and they can't go with the bridegroom. They demand oil from those who have it. But the ones who have oil only have oil for themselves. They suggest, well, why don't you go down the road and kind of knock on the door of an oil trader and buy some oil? So off they go. And when they eventually get to the wedding feast, they kind of knock on the door and they're not admitted. In fact, it's much more damning than that. We read, the door was shut and the bridegroom refused to acknowledge them. So they're shut out. Now, this is a parable to help us understand the main points that Jesus is making. We're not to read things into every single twist and turn, but there are some really clear messages that come across for us this morning. Here's the first. Many people who call themselves Christians will not get into heaven. That might shock you this morning. You see, in the parable, it wasn't obvious that the group of bridesmaids were split 50-50. On the outside, they all looked pretty similar. Yet half of them didn't have any oil. They weren't ready. Simply, they didn't know Jesus. This morning, I want to ask all of us, do you really know Jesus? Do you have a living, real, personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The tragedy is there will be people who have attended St. John's who do not really know Jesus. There'll be people in churches up and down the land who have attended even all their lives who don't know Jesus. People who've worked in the church, served in the church, people who've preached in the church, people who've been vicars who don't know Jesus. Unless you really know Jesus, you will not get into heaven. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. Just look at the second bit of verse 10. Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The second bit here is the wait for Jesus takes a long time. We've studied this in previous weeks, so I'm not going to say a lot, but the statement is absolutely true. The bridegroom was delayed in the parable. Jesus hasn't returned yet. In God's providence, the time has not yet come. But do not be deceived. It sure is coming. And then it will happen suddenly. Not just suddenly, but when it's least expected. We're not going to dwell on this hugely this morning because, again, we've covered this in past weeks. But the point is being made again for emphasis. When Jesus returns, it will be the biggest shock the universe has ever seen. And his return will happen when we think it is least likely to occur. See also that true faith in Jesus is not transferable. Just look at verse 8. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. You see, the bridesmaids who've got the oil in their lamps can't give what they have to others. True faith comes through knowing Jesus, and it has to be your faith. There's a saying, don't know whether you've heard it, God has no grandchildren. And it's absolutely true. God adopts children only. In other words, What you can't say is, my parents were Christians, so I should get into heaven. I was brought up a Christian. Or I was brought up in a Christian home, so I should get in. The reality is, unless you have oil, unless you have God's Spirit living within you, unless you know Jesus personally, you cannot be God's child. And then there is no second chance to get into heaven. What do we read? Jesus in the parable says the door was shut. The bridegroom said these terrifying words to those who were shut outside. I do not know you. When the king comes back, these are the worst words that anyone can ever hear. The door shut. I don't know you. Shut out of heaven without hope. You see, the Bible's really clear. There's no escape hatch from hell. There's no back door into heaven. When the king comes, your future, my future, is settled eternally. Forever with the king, or shut out forever for the whole of eternity. And be ready. The overall lesson is abundantly clear. Make sure you are ready for that day. I've got to ask you this morning, are you ready? Do you really belong to Jesus? If you're not sure this morning, then maybe this morning is the time to respond to God's word and put your trust in Jesus for the very first time. If you've never bowed the knee to King Jesus, today is the day to do so. The king has not returned yet, but when he does, your future is set irrevocably forever. Point number two this morning. True faith is marked by faithful service. We're looking at verses 14 through to 30 at this point. And Jesus tells another parable because he's got some more points he wants to make to his listeners. And this time we have the master of a property who goes on a long journey. He's clearly going to be away for some time. So he gives out some very significant sums of money. To the first servant, he gives 5 talents. Now, don't confuse talent with my talent in singing joke. A talent is a sum of money, around 20 years' wages. I reckon that's about £2.5 million today. And the servant uses his master's money in business and makes a return of another £2.5 million, 100% over the period of time. And we're not told what the period of time is. The second servant, well, he gets his 2 talents, about £1 million, and he doubles his money as well. And then we come to the third servant. He gets about £500,000 and does absolutely nothing with it at all. Basically, he thinks, I'm not bothered about the master. I'm not even sure he's coming back. I'm not bothered at all. I'll just go and put it in a hole where it'll be kind of left there. And I can forget about it. And I can forget about the master. And in due course, the master returns. And he summons these servants to give an account of what they've done with his money. Servant one has doubled his money for his master, and likewise, servant two. Look in verse 20. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And we have a similar response when we come to servant number two. But servant three is very different. Just listen up at verse 24. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap what I had not sowed, and gather what I where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. And he goes on. And verse 30, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is all about using the opportunities that God gives us to serve him faithfully. The call is to be faithful stewards of all that God has given us. Now, let's be really clear this morning. Good works and service will never get you to God. Can we be really clear on that? Good works and service is never going to get you to reach God. But true faith in Jesus Christ will always result in faithful service. True faith in Jesus will result in service for him and his glory. So what are we going to learn from this? Well, here's the first thing. Our gifts and resources are on loan. In the parable, the master gives out the resources. They don't belong to the servants. They belong to the master. Likewise, everything that we have is from God. We might think we own everything that we have, but the reality is we don't. Everything belongs to God. Our gifts, our time, our homes, our bank balances, and all the resources that we possess in life. And we will have to give an account for them when Jesus returns. See also that service is according to gifts. The servants were given different levels of gifts. Interestingly, there's no differentiation between the commendation of the first two servants. God has given us different gifts. The more gifts he gives, the greater the responsibility. The question is, are we using the gifts God has given us for his glory and his kingdom? Because true faith will always result in faithful service. Are we using our resources that are on loan to us for our benefit or for God's glory? See also that it's a sin not to use the gifts that God has given us. Now, we often think that sin is doing wrong things, don't we? And yes, it is. But here Jesus presents us with the sin of omission. That's burying our gifts, burying the resources that God has given to us on loan in the ground and not using them for his glory. You see, if you don't use the resources and gifts God has given us for faithful service, we have to question whether we really belong to Jesus. And it's also a long time before the reckoning. Let's look at verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This theme keeps on recurring, doesn't it? Don't be fooled by the fact that Jesus hasn't returned yet. It will happen. And there will be a day of reckoning. We need to live our lives serving God in the light of the fact that Jesus Christ is returning. And that moves us on to living in expectation of the day. Because the overall thrust of this parable is not to be missed. Faithful service is required of God's people every day. Everything that we do in our lives should be done on the basis that we will have to stand and give an account for what we've done with the resources God has given to us. One day we'll stand before the judge. The question will be asked, what did you do for me with the gifts I gave you? What have you done with the financial resources I loaned to you? What have you done with everything that I gave you on planet Earth? And then we see that the unfaithful servant will make excuses. Look in verse 24 again. He also had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Boy, the excuses pour out, don't they? They're not even valid. I mean, if this servant was really afraid of the master, he would have done something about the talent that he received. He wouldn't just have buried it in the ground if he was afraid of the master. Instead, this servant acts and behaves as though his master is not going to return. He got no time for the master. Instead, he was interested in living life for himself. Excuses before the judge of all the earth will cut no ice. Instead, in verse 30, we read the outcome and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is pretty terrible. Never think we can play around with God. And then see also, because there's so much to learn from this, faithful service leads to incredible privilege. Let me read two verses to you. Verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And then again in verse 23 to the second servant, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Both servants are ushered into the joy of the master. Faithful service for Jesus will result in unbounded joy and delight. Sharing the joy and delight of Jesus. Notice too that both his servants will be set over much in the world to come. For those who serve Jesus faithfully, there is great reward. To share the joy and delight of Jesus, to be given responsibilities in heaven. We haven't got time to do a study on heaven this morning, but you won't be sitting on clouds singing with harps, unless you pit with her harp. Heaven will be active. It'll be engaging, it'll be rewarding, and it'll be a time of total joy and delight. What kind of servant are you? Are you using the gifts and resources that God has loaned out to you for the glory of Jesus? And then the third point this morning, final judgment. And here we cast our eyes over verse 31 to the end of the chapter. As I look at the world scene today, there is very little justice. The injustice of the war in Ukraine, the starving children crying out from Gaza, the brutality of leaders in countries like North Korea, leaders who act like bullies, events that have gone on in a similar vein since the beginning of time. This world cries out for justice, and it will come. See, first of all, there will be a glorious arrival, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Jesus is going to appear with all his glory displayed. That is beyond anything that we can understand. The one who created the vastness of the universe is coming in his full and complete glory with supreme power and authority. It's going to be an amazing sight, but also it's going to be a terrifying sight. Every eye will see his arrival. Every knee will bow down to King Jesus, either acknowledging him to be their Lord or acknowledging him simply to be Lord. It will be a glorious arrival. It'll be shocking. It'll be amazing. It'll be stunning. And then see that there will be separation. Verse 32, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another. A shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So when Jesus comes in his power, might and authority, with all of his glory displayed, with every knee acknowledging who he is, as the nations will gather before him. And then comes a mass separation. The sheep will go to his right hand. They're those who know and love Jesus. And the goats will go to his left hand. All those who know Jesus will be gathered together, safe and secure. And all those who don't know him will be put to one side. When this happens, the separation is irrevocable and it's final. There'll never, ever be a chance to change sides. The separation, you see, is for eternity without end. And then note the test in verse 34. Well, I can find verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me." In the last parable, we saw that good works will never get us into heaven, will never qualify us. Working for charity won't get you into heaven. Seeking to be a good person will not get you into heaven. Coming to church will not get you into heaven, though it does give you a great opportunity to meet Jesus. The qualification is whether we know Jesus personally and relationally. You see, if we truly love Jesus, we'll want to serve him faithfully. Our love for him will result in works done for him out of love. Works done for him and his people. Specifically, works of service for Christ's church. Our brothers and sisters, verse 40. True faith is like the two servants who put their talents to work while the master was gone. False faith is like the servant who buried his talent and never even attempted to serve the master. And the final subpoint this morning, eternal consequences. I want to read two verses to you that are split but are in absolute contrast to each other. Verse 34. The king will say to those on his right, remember who's on his right? The sheep, those who love Jesus. "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Isn't that an amazing future to look forward to? Then look at verse 46. And these are the goats on the left-hand side, those who don't know Jesus. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Eternal life for those who know and love Jesus. The joy of the new kingdom, planned and prepared since the foundation of the world. The riches of heaven for the whole of eternity. Unending joy, satisfaction, delight, blessing, and certainly no boredom. For those who don't know Jesus, absolute disaster. Jesus describes this as eternal punishment. They're the words of Jesus, not my words this morning. I'm not going there, because in God's grace I love and know Jesus. But despite this, the description still fills me with horror. See, in hell the punishment will fit the sin. Those who have committed atrocities will be punished for their acts. But so will everyone who has rejected Jesus and not lived for him in this life. This morning, these are incredibly serious words. God's word calls us, every single one of us here this morning, to examine ourselves most carefully, to make doubly sure we belong to him. Unless you're sure this morning, don't walk out of here without making sure you know Jesus. Talk to someone you know and trust. And we need to make sure that we are truly serving him with the gifts and the resources that he's given us. That's the test of true faith. But this morning, God's word calls us to act and to be ready. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Let's just have a moment of quiet where we just examine ourselves before God in his presence. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. As we see the challenges within it, we pray that you would give all of us the grace to respond. Either to come to you, maybe for the very first time, and put our trust in Jesus, the living Saviour. Or for those who know and love you already, that we would seek to serve you faithfully and be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to respond to your word this morning. Help us not to be like that man that James describes, who looks at himself in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he looks like. Help us instead, having listened to your word, to act upon it and to respond according to your grace. In the name of Jesus, amen.